Welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
And I'm correct.
And here we are once again to continue counting down the best music of 2017. We had discussed the best tracks. We had our annual Beatsies Awards. Now the time has come to formally announce the top 15 albums. 2017.
Right. The correct list, the right list, the top 15 albums of 2017, definitively, right here. In any other list, a 15 or 10 or 50, they're all wrong compared to this list.
Your love will be arbitrarily ranked by our own personal interests.
Wow. What a depressing realization. What we're doing is bad.
I know. So Mark's going to go first today. Mark's going to talk us through his top 15 albums. Give us a little slice of life about each of them. Talk a bit. Explain why they're in this order and why he likes them so much. And then we'll move into a segment we call Attack and Defend, where Mark will choose one album on his list that he thinks others are sleeping on or should not have made a list without.
Right.
And then I will attack him for including an album that I think shouldn't be on his list. And we'll debate it out for a half hour or so.
You got some contenders.
Yeah.
I have some guesses as to what you might throw out on here.
I mean, I know that myself, I've got some things that you're not going to be very happy to see on a list, so we'll throw down then. And then we'll also, of course, close out the show with a game of Spotify the Liar. We'll see who really was honest with their best tracks of the year.
All right. I wonder, they still do it the same as other years, right?
Like, I think they do. They rank it. Well, I haven't looked yet this year because I'm saving it for this moment, so.
Right. So basically, Spotify provides you with the list of the songs you played the most during the year.
Right. Which is the actual listing of best songs of the year.
Well,
I can't wait to see Bargal 8 at the top of the list.
That's number one.
Mamchow up there at the very top.
Wow. And that's a shame, because it did not make my top 15.
All right.
That's a gunshot for my lungs.
Ready, set, go. 15, Mark.
Number 15. Semper Femina by Laura Marling, which I came into late in the year.
Yeah.
And it was something that I had not a ton of interest in. I don't tend to become overly fascinated by folk albums that just kind of are well-written folk albums. I guess that's just not enough for me without something beneath it to really propel me to get interested in the thing. But I came around and I was like, I want to give this a shot. Everyone was saying early in the year that this is one of the best ones of the year. I gotta listen to it. And it turns out they're right, because every track in Semper Femina it has a depth to it in a way a lot of other albums on my list don't. Like, it feels like it was written by someone who comprehensively understands folk music. And the start of every track, you only get a glimpse as to what the song is going to build to. Sometimes it's only like one extra guitar or one interesting bass part beneath it, but it always feels like full and expansive. And lyrically, she's always on point. It's a very good album from this year.
That's surprising. I haven't heard you talk about that at all.
Yeah, I just listened to it a month ago.
Well, there you go. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I wanted Sophia Kennedy to be on here because it was my fun discovery album of the year.
Right.
But if I'm honest with my appraisal, Semper Femina is like, it's what like someone who just knows how to write good music, this is the album they would write.
I haven't heard a lot of, any kind of press on this thing one way or the other, so.
When we did our best of the 2017 list so far earlier in the year, halfway through, it was on like half the list, I think.
Yeah.
Like lower. But yes, that's my speaker starting up, and I guess I will play a clip. Oh, you know what? No. Let's be slinky about it. Slowly taking off my shirt.
I'm sneaking through a back alleyway to rob a jewelry store.
Alright, let's skip ahead a little.
Oh, my hopeless wonder.
Like, around here.
To come in, you don't not live here anymore.
See what I mean?
That's pretty cool.
There's a real depth to sound there.
Yeah. She's got a great voice, too.
She has an amazing voice. This is a great album, and I hope more people give it a shot. Yeah. Although, I think it's gotten some praise.
Yeah.
All right. I'll just keep moving?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm getting nervous for the more I go through this list.
Because you're realizing it's not in the right order?
Or no.
It's the albums you've chosen?
It's right. It's correct. Okay. Number 14, Control by SZA.
Okay.
This didn't maybe activate me as much as it did a lot of people, but sure. I have to say that SZA this year... She is deeply representative of the millennial experience, the 20-something experience. Mm-hmm. I personally prefer the songs on this album that are a little more traditional, I guess. The ones that are more poppy and easy to listen to.
Bring in some Travis Scott, One Love Galore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm sure whenever this comes on your list, you'll pick it up.
Straight up.
Here's Love Galore. You've probably heard it already.
I need. What I do, I war with you. Why you bother me when you know you don't want me? Why you bother me when you know you got a woman? Why you hear
like
me?
Travis is here.
He's like a seagull.
Hey. Travis doesn't want to talk to me. Okay, that's my number 14. Number 13. Is Power Plant by Girlpool.
Should have listened to it.
You really should have. You really screwed this one up.
Convince me now to listen to it with some good music here.
So, Girlpool, what they were originally, they're a duo. They didn't used to have a percussionist, which is what kind of their almost, I don't want to say their gimmick was, but that was their identity, is that they wrote these sort of retrospective songs about years past and decisions made that were very erudite. And with Power Plant, the release this year, they have added a percussionist and gone straight into rock. They have taken all the lessons they have learned from minimalism and expanded them out to some just straight up rock and roll music.
It's good.
And it's really good. It sounds like the 90s brought to life again,
That's
resurrected.
That's what I want.
Really tight 12 song record.
That's what I like.
My personal favorite, I've played it a few times this year, but I'll play it again. Track It Gets More Blue, because I love the way this thing expands in the middle.
The tattoo right there.
Yeah, I get that tattoo. And then it builds from there.
Cool.
My number 12 is Drunk by Thundercat, which was conspicuously missing from the first version of this list, but is now in its rightful spot at number 12. Thundercat is... This
One
album
goofy
is...
dude.
He's a goofy man. He's the best buddy... Best band leader of the year, for sure. And he has made a sometimes introspective, sometimes hilarious, sometimes funky, vocalless album that is a lot of things at once. And it is an experience.
You got Michael McDonald and Kenny Loggins in the same song.
That's right. I'm going to throw on... Did we pick him for band leader? Who did we pick for band leader?
I feel like we did.
I don't remember.
What's amazing about Thundercat is that he can do this, like, you know, Goku ruin me. I'm going to sing about Diablo. And, you know, like, that album cover is crazy. But then he, like, throws down the skills, and he's an amazing bass player.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. He's one of the greats. Okay, number 11, Nothing Feels Natural by Priests. This was a really satisfying post-punk album for me, which is, as far as I'm concerned, a more or less dead genre with very few people doing anything meaningful in that space. I think Priests have the kind of voice that's very now and very immediate, occasionally angry, occasionally hilarious, but always honest. I'm going to go ahead and throw on the album closer, Suck.
Great song.
I am a sucker for that sound. Yeah. I like Priest a lot. I'm happy to see it's getting its accolades in places. I didn't expect it to.
It came out really early this year, too. Back in, I think, late January, early February. So,
yeah.
Just an update. Thundercat did win both the Band Leader Award and the That Old 64 Award for Friends
Best Video Game Reference.
Yeah. So great. He had a good year at the Beatsies, That Old Thundercat.
Yeah. Congratulations, Thundercat. Okay, getting into top 10 territory. My number 10 is Async by Ryuichi Sakamoto.
Mm, wow. You love that thing.
Wide variety of compositional styles.
Yeah.
I think it is a comprehensive reflection on what it is to almost die.
Yeah.
And I find it compelling as a result. Occasionally, it dips into some... Like, I can see why... Listening to it again now, to make sure this actually earned the spot, I can see why some people would get hung up on the way that it just transitions from something like the title track, like this. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, horrifying,
right?
And then to something so slow and melodic like this. I'm just taking a walk. What a leaves. Love rambles. I can see why that would put someone off, because it doesn't feel coherent, but I think emotionally it feels coherent.
Sure.
Like, I'm always understanding where he's at in his narrative, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the note it ends on. I love it ends at this sort of coming to an understanding of an issue. The final stage of grief, which is acceptance.
Right.
And I... think it's a powerful little work.
That opening track is something great.
It is something very good.
Number 10.
That's number 10.
Wow.
Number 9, Capacity by Big Thief.
Yeah.
Which is an album about a woman's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, Flower Boy.
That's all you're saying about it? That's it? You're just moving on? You're just dropping that Big Thief bomb and you're like, all right, that's it?
All right. I'm still embarrassed by what happened during the Beatsies. If you haven't listened to the Beatsies, don't do it.
play some Shark Smile or.
You know what?
You don't like that stuff?
I think I'm going to play.
Shark Smile's really good.
Okay, I'll play Shark Smile for you. Yeah, really good album. Really great. Strong stuff. Such a
motherly connection.
It's a mother of an album.
Great pick.
And it's been talked about a lot this year for good reason.
Grower for sure.
It feels like classic singer-songwriter. It feels like the best memoir of the year.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Async in some ways, or you know, not even just Async. There's another album on my list here. There's like, this is like my movie of the year in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was my memoir of the year.
Yeah.
I feel like there's. She is maybe the greatest lyricist of the year, maybe, like consistently. It's really powerful and cool. All right. Number 8, Flower Boy by Tyler, the Creator. Tyler, the Creator has always been a provocative internet dude.
Yep.
And we've talked about this a few times already, but I felt like Flower Boy, the genuine artist, like the vulnerability required to become great, he has finally... let all that out there while maintaining that sort of ironic. You get context for his whole career leading up to this moment in this album.
Do you think this shifts the way that we look at his previous works? Do you think this maybe enhances or at least changes the way that we view those?
I mean,
become in any way different?
Well, like I said, I think it provides you with context.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's really up to you. But,
yeah.
He came out as gay.
Yeah.
And which is, I guess, you know, maybe surprising to people who have been following him, because he is he's always about power trips online.
Yeah.
And watching the Tiny Desk concert for Tyler, the Creator, is one of the things that made me realize, like, he's just going to keep doing great stuff. Because more than a lot of rap performances in Tiny Desk Concerts, he felt like a showman in a way. Yeah. Like, there is a full band that he is, like, conducting. He writes his own beats, which, and they're all fantastic. I'll play Who Dat Boy right now if you need proof.
Great, great track. I love the bees at the beginning of the song.
I'll play the clip. Do you think what you're doing right now is going to be better than what's happening?
It's at least equal.
Okay, wait, let's do a comparison. I'm going to play a little bit of it. You do your version, we'll compare.
Okay.
Okay, you go for it. Wow, that is really scary.
You could layer those on top of each other, and it would be practically seamless.
Wow, maybe I'll have to do that.
Yeah. Yo. Pines overalls and a striped shirt. The boy drips swag like a broken faucet. It's running, nigga, I'm
running. Shit, that cherry be the bomb like he ran and bounced. It won't stop till the cops are... Still got your bangers in there, but
that's a great
for the
song.
Most part, that's the Tyler Gray that people are most familiar with.
Right. That video rocks, too.
Yeah, but there's like a ton of other interesting stuff on here. So, watching that Tiny Desk concert, he at one point directs his band to just start performing the lyrics in Spanish. He's dancing, he's playing the keyboard, and he felt like a true band leader. Like, he felt like, man, whatever this guy's going to do next, it's going to be even more compelling than this, I'm sure. Awesome. I think he's on the upswing.
This album has opened a new chapter in his career.
Yeah, and in my relationship with him.
Yeah. I'm glad you two are getting along better.
Yeah, well, we didn't get along at all before, but now, very close. Number seven. No Shape by Perfume Genius. Not a shape at all. A single shape.
Nope.
Not even one. Perfume Genius has written some of the best songs of the year.
No doubt.
I think there's probably two or three songs on here that I would put above most stuff written this year.
Yeah.
The only reason it's down here at number seven, when I think it had the potential to be higher, is because I think he occasionally swings for the fences in some ways that aren't cohesive with the rest of the album, but it's really good. I do enjoy the variety nonetheless in the album. I do enjoy his vocals are like a string pulled as tight as you can. He is so vulnerable. He's just a force of emotion.
And I love the way that he can be, you know, I think his best moments are when he is total exuberance on tracks like Slip Away and Other Side.
Right.
And he's been like Reef, you know, but there are moments where he can be very dark and very underplayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a clip of Die For You.
Mm. That's a dark track.
Charlie just did like he was tickling an hourglass. He did a little of this. What was that?
He's got the key to the time right there. He's Father's Son. That Perfume Genius.
That's a really interesting analysis. He's called
Time Genius.
He should be the Time Genius.
Yeah.
It's weird here.
It's weird here.
At Time Genius's house.
I can't dream.
There are a lot of clocks.
Yeah.
Okay. Number six. Soft Sounds from Another Planet.
Ooh.
By Japanese Breakfast.
You love this thing.
I really do. I came around on it in a big way. It's one of my biggest surprises of the year for sure. Yeah. The first album that she released, which I believe is a self-titled... No, Psychopomp, excuse me. First album. Got a ton of praise. Got a ton of positive press. And I felt at the time that it was a pretty good indie rock record with an amazing lead single. And that was about it. I didn't really feel super strongly about Japanese Breakfast one way or the other. I thought she was going to be one of those bands where whenever I have a Pandora station of like indie rock now or whatever up, or the Spotify playlist, there's like alternative rock now. Like, I was just going to keep seeing her name and then be like, oh, there's a single or whatever. But this is like a whole experience from start to finish. She has used a science fiction film aesthetic to tell a lot of personal stories, sort of American stories, Americana type stories. This is one of my favorite tracks. The Body is a Blade.
Ooh.
listen to the way this track builds. This is, I think this actually is probably the best example of, it's not my favorite song on the album, but it's a great example of what the album does. Also, one of my favorite uses of saxophones in the year. There's this great track on here where she ends with the sax, and we both are huge fans of ending with the sax.
Of course.
All right. I can see you getting on your computer. I can see that you're starting to calculate what best to attack. I'm
starting to formulate the argument, but I'm just taking it all in.
Take it all. I mean, you don't know my list,
right?
To be clear. Number 5, Run the Jewels 3.
Yeah.
By Perfume Genius. Great album from
great feature from him on that.
Yeah. And the jewels lie in the garden. Those last songs staying way longer than before.
They really stretched it out.
I don't know. I don't really know if I need to go on too much about it. I think we've been very clear about how we feel.
How often does a trilogy end with an overwhelming success?
Right now.
Thank you, Run the Jewels.
I don't think any artist was as equipped this year to deal with the dark side of politics and Run the Jewels.
It's the soundtrack for the apocalypse, man.
Yeah, absolutely. But
it's only 5.
It's only 5 because there was one artist who just frankly made a better album in a similar space, and that's Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Stand by Kendrick Lamar.
Number 4.
Again, not really a ton of need to go on about Kendrick Lamar. I don't think he is
unstoppable.
He is incredible.
He's
and
a force.
I bounced off of Damn just a touch because I was hoping for something more sonically experimental.
Sure. Coming from an album previously that was potentially the most sonically experimental.
Yes.
In amazingly fantastic ways. We can't sing enough praises for TPAB.
To know this was a straight up rap album in a way, and it's really not, but
very
comparatively
accessible.
It is
much
so
more accessible. Yeah, there are clear singles on this thing in a way that didn't really exist on Spin the Butterfly.
And I still maintain, I think lyrically, Blood goes a little too close to the cheese. I like the effect that it has.
Hello, ma'am.
And there's just some straight up pop songs on this thing,
sure.
But it is such a it's such a thing. It's such a statement. It's such an experience. And every one of the tracks on this thing is classic.
He can't help but make a statement when he releases his music.
Yeah. Let's do something that's not getting enough play.
All right. Yeah. Finish with a sworn nemesis. He'll make it. He'll make it. Take the gratitude from him. I bet he'll show you some more. Chip a nigga a little bit of nothing. I chip a nigga a little bit of nothing. I chip a nigga a little bit of nothing. I chip a nigga then.
You know, maybe not the best clip, but
no, that's great.
I love the way that he uses rap aesthetics from
previous generation that was in there. Yeah.
Like the 80s and the 90s. And it feels timeless.
Yep.
Like it feels like he felt he had to say something and needed to broaden his audience, and the only way to do that was to make these very classic feeling songs.
And even though it's maybe not as reverent to West Coast rap as Good Kid, Mad City is, you know, it's sometimes frustrating to have someone. It's like you're walking this line between Critical Darling and Accepted by the Masses, right? And so Kendrick has been lauded by the critical community, but he hasn't had that, I don't think, that crossover into mass mainstream like acceptance yet. Yeah, he's doing the Katy Perry songs.
Oh, I think he has.
Well, he has now, but I don't think that To Pimp a Butterfly was what propelled him to that spot.
No.
No. So he had to release this to kind of like really get in people's
heads. I think if a rap artist is winning a Grammy,
yeah,
they have more crossover appeal than you realize.
Yeah.
I think that happened with Give me the album title. Give me the album.
Butterfly.
No, before that.
Good Kid, Mad City.
Good Kid, Mad City. That won the Grammy, right?
I don't think it did. I think Macklemore beat it out.
It won Best Song for something. I know it won some Grammy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But I remember, Macklemore, there was a whole controversy. He tweeted out like, yeah, man, I know Kendrick's the real deal. I don't know why I won this thing instead of him, but... Thanks, I guess.
Well, okay.
It's kind of like whenever Adele won that album. It was like, actually, Beyonce had the best album. This is yours. You deserve this.
Yeah.
The Grammys are history of doing that. Yeah.
Well, okay. In that case, I apologize. I'm wrong. I felt like Swimming Pool had a lot of crossover appeal.
Sure.
But I feel like now his like the real stuff, like the stuff where he's like, I have some things to say.
Yeah.
Is starting to get with, like, you're right, with Damn has started to have crossover. Like, I know a friend of mine that my old roommate, I lived with her earlier this year, knows part of Damn.
Yeah.
Like, he knows who Kendrick Lamar is. He knows Humble.
Yeah.
Like, if he heard Humble, oh, I think that's Kendrick Lamar. Like, someone who is totally not engaged with music whatsoever.
Right.
So it's working.
Yeah. And he's made that leap without sacrificing his vision
for
creativity.
All right.
Which is impressive. Top three, baby.
Top three. Now, top I feel three, like baby. This is like, this is the...
Three better than Damn.
Wow. Oh, there's three better than Damn.
Okay.
This is maybe a predictable choice for me, but my number three,
yeah,
a little bit of LCD Sound System.
Yeah.
No album hype me up this year anymore. They are my favorite band.
Yep.
If I had to pick a single band that I could only listen to them for the rest of my life, it would be them.
Yep.
I was thrilled to see that this album pulled through. It's a great experience. It has some things to say. It's more direct than they've ever been. They feel vital somehow still. They are sonically, this album just feels like crazy. Like, it's slower and more methodical.
Yeah.
But occasionally even punchier than before. I don't think this reaches instant classic status like the other albums did, but it feels very now at the same time.
Sure.
For a band that's coming back after having been retired, that's an accomplishment in and of itself.
That run of... Tonight, Call the Police, American Dream is one of the best moments on any album this year. That's a great run of tracks.
I would add How Do You Sleep?
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of the prelude into that.
And then if you at that point, just add Change Your Mind and I Used To.
It's the whole album. The whole album's a great ride because you got to have Oh Baby in there and you got to have Black Screen too.
Exactly. I kept checking myself like, should this be number three? But I was like, no, this is just good.
Yeah,
like,
I totally agree. It's great.
Well, if you agree, it must be true.
No complaints here.
Something that's getting underplayed, and I will pick one of my secret jams. Let's get forward. You wish what you've been told about whatever has led to this. Emotional haircut. It ain't a disease. It's an album about getting your haircut.
Yeah.
And who doesn't love that? Do you not love that?
It's an emotional haircut.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll wheel that chair around and I'll take a look in the mirror and just get a little teary-eyed up. You know, it's emotional.
Yeah.
And it's a haircut.
Oh boy. They did this all wrong. It's 2017. I have a faux hawk.
No.
I screwed up.
Bad choices.
All right. Whatever argument you've been making, I feel like is about to be obliterated because I feel like you're going to be mad about this one. My number two track of the year.
Number two album of the year.
Number two album of the year.
Yeah.
Is Take Any My Ass, I Won't Take Any. No. It's The Ooze.
Yeah.
By King Krule.
Wow.
It's number two.
That's surprising.
Number two.
Talk to me about it.
Talk to you.
Talk to me.
Well, I told you also. I told you on Top Tracks of the Year.
Right.
I told you on the Beatsies.
Right.
Now here we go. I'll tell you in the best albums of the year. I know this is not King Krule's first release. I know he has been doing this... Before I knew what he was doing, before I was paying any attention to his work. But listening to that old stuff, I feel like The Ooze is the synthesis of his sound that he has never been able to achieve until now. I feel like what I like about The Ooze and what I feel about it is the same thing I like watching a David Lynch film or Twin Peaks. There's something deeply strange and uncomfortable about it. Mm-hmm. It feels new. It feels unpredictable. There's kind of a harshness to it.
Yeah.
I don't think any album created mood better than The Ooze this year.
Yeah.
And I told you whenever we reviewed the album, which has not been released yet, our album review of The Ooze, but my exposure to it was I was going to, I was reviewing a show that was in the middle of nowhere. Like this, the venue was just in the woods somewhere. And I'm driving past just trees and like the occasional like McDonald's, just nothing. No one's there. And I'm exhausted. I have no sleep. I'm driving almost blind because I have no data on my phone. So things keep like, my phone keeps forgetting where I am. So I'm just listening to the ooze. I'm listening to this. I don't know. Let me go here. No, we'll go here. We'll go here.
And she looked me in the eye.
It's cold.
Love
it's dark. It's like 8 at night. I don't know where I am. And I'm like, I'm hungry. Is it the I'm going to get there early. I think that's a Subway. I'll get a veggie sandwich. Tiny so I'm just in the middle of this parking lot, totally alone, eating a veggie sandwich. Just I think that these compositions too are amazing. I think these songs are compelling.
He's a young dude too,
and they're not just all big blue lonely astronaut in the middle of nowhere stuff like the album art. He does have the occasional track that is like immediate feeling like Dumb Surfer or
Check One,
something like that's what we're just listening to. Something like
that one.
So how to get to where I'm from.
It's creepy.
It feels like a schlocky horror film that you dug out from your uncle's creepy basement.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
It makes me feel like my uncle buried me in his basement. And that's what I'm looking for.
You're digging your way out.
It's the second most thing I was looking for.
Yeah. That's surprising. There's some big ones in there that I expected maybe to hit that top of the list. I don't know what's your number one album this year. I'm trying to think through what we talked about this year.
You're going
to
hate this.
I'm kind of at a loss for ideas. I don't know.
My number one of the year.
Better than LCD.
Better than LCD better than Sound Kendrick. System. Better than King Cruel. Better than King Cruel.
Wow.
Better than Take a Knee, My Ass, I Won't Take a Knee. I had to pick it because it's the album that I have returned to the most.
Yeah.
And have every time I return to it, I feel a little bit differently. It always gives me a variety of feelings, and it's very long. It's 50 Song Memoir by The Magnetic Fields.
Wow.
My number one.
The whole thing.
I think it does something with music that I have never personally experienced before.
Wow.
Which is every disc is 10 years of his life, and it's 50 years old, so there's 50 tracks. And there's something so deeply compelling to me about getting just 3 minutes from a year.
Yeah.
And then getting to know a person by only experiencing those 3 minutes. So where was he at in his 40s? Well, it turns out it was like maybe the most boring period of his life, if the songs are any indication. But like, all right, let's say I want to know what was he like when he was like 11. What was he into when he was 11? I only get to know him for 3 minutes when he was 11. There's a lot of stuff. He goes to the danceteria when he's 19. He's like out of school. Where did I find that? When he's 19, that's the track whenever he's explaining why he's not a teenager. When he's 18, is danceteria. Shitty 18-year-old when he's 18, and you get to experience that for 3 minutes. That's so cool. Like I love that. And then he's that annoying kid in college when he goes to college,
right?
When he fails ethics, and he's explaining to the teacher why he's smarter than the teacher.
Of course, positing my own ethical system while other college students emptied kegs.
He's that annoying. He's 20. It's so good. I deeply relate to it. Whenever he's in his late 20s, he starts to get weird diseases. That's a really fun track. We even get to experience. He experiences depression. There's tracks on here where he just talks about being depressed. That was his year that year. That's if I had to pick 3 minutes from my life this year, it was going through depression. Here's a song about it. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love the final note it ends on is this reassuring, cute song about how everyone's somebody's fetish. it's great. Everything about it's great. It's my favorite.
That's a surprising choice. I know you loved it, but man, wow. You really loved it.
Can you at least admit that's an interesting way to learn compelling. About a human?
For sure. For sure. You know, I love gimmicks.
Yeah.
In album creations.
Sure.
But like we talked about with something else, I tend to think that sometimes the gimmicks don't always make the good music.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to be said. I think he sticks the landing here.
Okay. I will say one thing because this album's been totally overlooked.
Yes.
And I guess I understand why. You know, it was long.
Right.
It's hard. You had to buy the full thing for a while. It wasn't on Spotify. Like, right. I understand people didn't get to experience it. But musically, they are fairly straightforward compositions, generally mm-hmm. speaking. But one thing he does do that I think is really interesting that no one else, at least that I have noticed, he kind of did the Beck thing of every track uses like 17 instruments. And I think the like total number of instruments he used in all 50 songs is like in the hundreds.
Yeah.
Because he'd be like, okay, this specific sound best fits how I was feeling when I was 8. And I love the puzzle of that. Like, how do I best through sound communicate what I felt when I was 8?
Yeah.
Huge
diversity of sounds on this thing.
Yes. And I was looking at my list and I thought the Ooze was the most new and most inventive, but I think about 50 Song Memoir all the time.
Yeah.
And then I went, when I was 5, did I feel like he did when he was 5? And I get to have my own self-reflection. So, yeah. Magnetic Fields, I think, nailed it. I think it's more than its gimmick. I think it's a genuine storytelling experience, and I think it does some cool stuff.
That's a really cool argument for why that deserves to be number one.
Oh, thank you.
Respect. Respect.
I like that he's an annoying 20. I was an annoying 20-year-old. Yeah. I went to a psychology class when I was 18, and I explained things to the psychology teacher about why he was wrong. I get it.
Good list, Mark.
Okay.
All right.
I'm excited.
So
should I do? Wait, you attack, then I defend. Is that right?
I think you defend first, then I attack.
That's
I think that's the best way of doing things.
Sure.
So you take this whole list, and you take about 15 minutes and explain to me why everyone should have this album on their list.
15 minutes?
Yeah. That's really good.
That's a lot of time.
Okay.
I think I need 15 minutes to talk about
it. All right. Do it in less time.
This would be great.
15 minutes or less.
Okay.
It's like pizza delivery, except more musical.
Okay. Well, see, most of my list, Soft Sounds from Another Planet, I think, is somewhat underappreciated, but it was well-reviewed.
Sure.
I think people just, they're composing their list for reasons that are different than
And let's be honest, you pick some pretty good albums for this list.
Yeah, that's real. It's pretty good. I guess, for my defense, I feel like I already kind of dug into why I think it's good, but I'm just going to say I think Async, just no one listened to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like the people who did could have done a better job of engaging with it. I have a problem with music criticism when it comes to pop, lyricless pop music.
Yeah.
So, especially for like dance music, if it's not lyrically explicit, the quality of criticism is deeply less. And I feel like most criticism of dance music ends up being references to bands that came before that this band sounds like, and then an arbitrary number. And I feel like Async is making waves in the pop scene because he is a composer for film. I think that's the only reason I even got to learn about it,
right.
Which is ridiculous.
Right.
And I think the people who review pop music maybe weren't as equipped to... I don't want to say equipped. That's a pretentious way of looking at these people. I think maybe the way that I have seen people write about Async has indicated to me that people are not engaging with what Async does, which is... it deals in abstractions, but I think towards a clear goal, towards a clear story, you know, like I think it becomes when you listen to Async, if you're listening to it to like jam around, that's not going to do it for you. If you're listening to it to compare it to classical composers, I also don't know if that's the exact right way to listen to it. I think what it does is tells a story in chapters, and each song is its own chapter. Each song is its own part of the story that you get to sit in and experience and. You don't have
to hold up.
Yeah. All right.
Go for it.
Because I could use some track titles here. There are some moments of kind of like, here's just some spoken word stuff that I think usually for me would put me off. But I kind of felt like if I was dying, I would be reading a lot. I would be trying to figure my stuff out a lot.
No need for a date. I was, I am, and I will be. a wonder of wonders, and to wonder I dedicate myself.
And then just like sitting here and trying to like, what was he feeling that moment?
Yeah,
he was. Was he reading this? You know, like what? Where was he at? And you go into Honge. It's just cold. It's cold and it's alone. It's raining. It's cold and it's alone. And it deals in ambience a little bit more.
Sure.
But that's what it's like. To me, it's a movie.
Yeah.
To me, Async is a movie, and it's a movie I liked.
Yeah.
I think if you listen to it, you should think about it as an audio film without dialogue.
Yeah. And you've got to create kind of the scenes in your head. And
yeah, I think it's overlooked. Like I don't. Yeah. I think I'm pretty clear.
Yeah.
With why I like it. Like right, I don't feel like people have said it's bad.
Yeah.
I just want to. I think people should have engaged with it differently than they did.
Do you think the biographical nature of the piece is important to understand before engaging with the music? Like the fact that you know that it's about the personal struggle with cancer.
Yeah.
Can you separate the music from that, or you think those two things are inherently tied? Is that why people aren't getting maybe the most out of this, because they don't know the backstory of why this was created?
I guess that would be a fair criticism of it.
Right.
But because that would mean in order to engage with it, you would have to read
at least
things
know
outside
something
of it.
About it. Right.
But I still think there's times when I have listened to compositions.
Yeah.
Like when I think about opera that is almost entirely not in English, I might not understand the ins and outs of the plot, but the music is compelling. And I can understand the story beats even if I don't understand them literally.
Right.
I can understand, oh, someone is in peril here.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't know that coming in, you could at least pick up, okay, something tragic is happening. There's a church organ. That doesn't indicate happiness. This is not a happy moment. Things are disintegrating. This track is called Disintegrate. I think that's evocative enough for you to pick up on what something's going wrong.
Yeah.
You might not think it's about a man. It could be about society. It could be about whatever.
Right.
But it's called Async. The album art is a series of like pots and then just a corrupted image
distortion
on the right. Yeah.
What I like about Sakamoto's work is, especially I'm thinking of like The Revenant, the way that movie is so focused on the natural, you know? Famously, they shot that film with only natural lighting. There was no external lighting. It was just the lighting of the natural world. And the music that accompanies it is sort of reflective of that.
Right.
It's meant to give you the feeling as if you are out there suffering in the wilderness with this man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a harrowing journey. It's fraught with peril. And I think he does do a great job of, in a lot of ways, emulating the natural world and also bringing in examples of the natural world, like going out and literally walking through a pasture or like a meadow. But also the way that cancer is a distortion of the natural, and the way that he takes that, you know, maybe a metaphorical idea and uses harsh sounds and non-natural sounds to play with what's otherwise a straightforward classical piece.
That's cool.
Get to the name like Async, like it's not in sync with everything else. We get the artwork there.
Right.
It's a complete artistic statement here. And
it
while
is.
Maybe it doesn't make my own personal list, just because I think there are other things that I engage with more, I certainly respect it. And, you know, I think I agree with you that more people should give it a shot and try to sit in this space, because there are very few other albums this year that sound like this.
Yeah.
If any at all.
Right. And I think, this is maybe deeply cynical of me to say, but I feel like when people make lists, it's like they have so little patience for tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
You can only have so much tragedy on your list.
Yeah.
I think Mount Eerie is an album for a lot of people this year.
Sure.
That sort of like just didn't make
that
list.
Yeah.
But it is a very good and meaningful piece of work about that is almost entirely lyrics driven as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
It's like it's essentially the opposite.
The music has been taken down to the absolute bare minimum.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that there's almost an element of, if you listen to both of these things, well, I have this really sad one. Like this will be higher. I'm going to compare the two tragic albums. This one is more comprehensive to me. So the other one must be worse generally. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if that's too cynical, but
yeah. So that's a good
album.
It
is cynical. You're an idiot.
That's a good album.
Okay.
All right.
Give me something. Attack me.
Run through your list one more time just to remind me. Count it down. Because I might have to take it. I don't know that I have an issue with any of your albums in particular. It's more maybe the ordering that I could nitpick here. But
okay.
So run through it real quick.
15, Semper Femina.
Yeah.
14, Control. 13, Power Plant by Girl Fool. 12, Drunk. 11, Nothing Feels Natural. 10, Async. 9, Capacity. 8, Flower Boy. 7, No Shape. 6, Soft Sounds from Another Planet. 5, Run the Jewels 3. 4, Damn. 3, American Dream. 2, The Ooze. And number 1, 50 Song Memoir.
That's tough. It's tough to have an issue with. That's a good list.
It's a real good list.
Oh, man.
Well, I told you it was correct, so.
Right. I maybe want to discuss the ordering of your top three.
Okay.
Because I feel like they are all very different albums from one another. You know, like there's... And I think depending on who you talk to, like you can flip those orders around and kind of be okay with it. I feel like of all the conversations that we have had this year, you have been most vocal in your appreciation for LCD Sound System. When I think back on the conversations that we have had, we talked for an hour plus about that thing. And granted, there were two other people in the room we were discussing that, which probably contributed to all that. But I remember you having insightful, detailed analyses for almost every single one of those tracks on that thing. And maybe it's because of your biographical familiarity with the band and you've got that deep personal connection to it. But my gut feeling going into this conversation was that LCD would be your number one. That was my prediction heading into things. And to see it be beaten out by King Cruel, which you said is more experimental, and I agree with that. It's totally new. And 50-song Memoir, which I think is inventive and very creative and very literary in a way that you would appreciate. When I'm thinking like a gut feeling toward the musicality, to the kind of thing that you're going to throw on, I feel like it's got to be LCD. I don't know. That's just my imagining of you and who you are. But I am very surprised to see not one, but two albums higher than LCD on this list.
Okay. Let's throw this out there. The way I tend to see the band is their first album, their self-titled album. The second disc was all of their singles and EPs leading up to the first album. So some people combine those. I do not. Okay. I put their first singles as their, that's its own album.
It's separate. Almost,
its own work. And then there's the first album. So from my perspective, that means there are now five main LCD Sound System albums. This is the fourth best. You know what I mean? Like, they're my favorite bands, but this is their fourth best work. I think the singles that they originally made are better. Like, they're from, like, the beginning. Are better than this album.
So what's disappointing about this album then? What makes it,
it's number three of the year. I'm just saying, like, whenever you say, like, well, I've been so animated about it. I know a lot about LCD Sound System. And I feel like I'm pretty good at, like, comparatively to, let's say, Sound of Silver, which I would put above this. I think Sound of Silver, there's an element of newness to it. And I think every song is a ton going on. There's a lot of songs in American Dream that don't have a ton going on. I like Other Voices a lot. I like what that song does. I like what it says.
Tell them, Nancy.
I love that. Okay, you're right. That part's really good. But I think that song is not as good as many of the other songs in that style that they've done. It's still really good. It's just not quite as good as their...
Does that have to do with your interpretation of their comeback this year? We talked about Best Comeback, and I thought, LCD, they're back, they did it, and you were immediately like, no. Like, you shut it down. And maybe they just never went away for you. But I feel like, you know, the fact that it isn't as inventive or isn't as triumphant or inventive.
That's the word, right? That's right. Because it is very good. It's very insightful. It's very clever. It's really smart. It's really good. But it's not triumphant. I don't think this album comes out and you're like, they're back. This album comes out and you're like, oh, interesting. There's kind of an element of that.
Well, and I think the content of the lyrics and the message, it's not something that you're celebrating here. Like, they're reflecting on a exact crisis.
That's fair. I mean, part of it. It opens with a suicide cover. To illustrate what the world looks like today, they covered a suicide song about going to sleep. I mean, maybe it's... I think Call the Police is triumphant, though.
But that's not the ending of the song. The ending of the song is very dark. Black screen.
Of the album.
So you were someone that would more readily reward inventiveness and creativeness over something that you just have a gut feeling is good.
I know. I had a gut feeling the inventive stuff was good, too, That's, I'm kind of confused what you mean.
So you and I were talking and you said, you know, King Cruel will get a lot of praise this year for being brand new. That it's like nothing has ever sounded like this before. He's totally operating in a new space. If he comes back, you know, 3 years later and does another one of these ooze albums, does that go lower on your list now, or is it still hanging out in a similar spot?
I hope not. I hope I'm intellectually honest enough not to be the kind of person who does that. I hope I can just reward good composition and craftsmanship. Maybe I am not. Yeah. I hope I am, though.
Right. Do you think it's too easy for people to throw the ooze on their personal list just by saying, you know, it's weird and everybody liked it, so here's this
weird
one.
Here.
Yeah.
Well, that would assume that's the reason why I like it, which it's not. Right. But that's what's most notable about it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think it's a really well-composed thing. I think it's a complete statement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you like a complete statement.
Sure.
And I think you felt that this thing could be cut down a little bit
from
our review. I can see that, but it definitely it is a definitive piece.
Yeah.
There's no...
And it is a grower. The more I sat with it, the more I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I feel like I got a bunch of growers on this thing.
Yeah.
So a whole lot of growers. In fact, the only shower I think I got is that I like loved immediately. It was like Nothing Feels Natural.
Yeah, I was going to say that
Async,
one. Yeah.
Flower Boy, No Shape, but and Run the Jewels 3. But the other ones are all pretty much growers.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of growing.
I'm having a tough time coming up with a serious argument. I think you got a lot of good choices.
Yeah.
And while I may not, I think we'll have some disagreement, and there's not, there are some that we overlap in, I think, obviously.
Right.
But I've also got a lot of my own personal taste on this list that we may not line up with. But based on those choices and what we talked about this year, I think it's a very respectable list that you've got put together. And I think you make a good argument for every single one of those things being on a list.
Oh, thank you. I pass.
I'm going to shake your hand on that one. You did a good job.
That was get the job.
Maybe your best top 15 albums list.
You think so?
Ever.
Wow. Well, I mean, I think this year there was a lot of albums that were like really good, and few that were clearly tremendous. Like this wasn't a To Pimp a Butterfly year where it's like,
I totally
if that's
agree.
Not number one, you're done messed up.
No clear front runner.
Yeah.
I think there's maybe a handful that are in the running.
That should be, it's probably
in consideration,
should be there.
But like the ordering, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm
Go for
sure
it.
Melodrama is in your top 15.
Sure.
And I totally get that. Yeah. Like it didn't make it that high on my list because I find a lot of the album tracks to just fall flat.
Yeah.
But it's, if you were into that, I could see why that would be high.
But like that's one, you know, Damn, LCD, The Ooze, you know, we're throwing all of these and there's usually like some mixed up combination and even Controls in a number of these lists this year, which is worth talking about. Interesting to not see Vince Staples on your list.
I know.
Big Fish Theory.
There's five other albums. There's Sophia Kennedy, Vince Staples. I was thinking about it. I was flirting with Piss Jeans on there for a while.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's five that are like, yeah, I could throw these on.
Right.
Like, do I like Semper Femina more than Vince Staples? I'm not sure.
I had a hard time laying down to just 15 as well. Like I had 20 and I got to 18 and I said, I don't know. I just don't know what to cut at this point or even the ordering of it. Cause like I'm making wild shifts. Something was at 8 and suddenly it's at 15 now because it's like, wait, no, I actually don't like that as much as I think I do.
Right.
It's a really tough year to order these things.
That the thing with Vince Staples for me was like, I was thinking about like, okay, well, it was going to be between like, it was like Control, Semper Femina, Vince Staples, Sophia Kennedy, and I was like, I want Sophia Kennedy on there so bad because no one's talking about her. Oh, she can't make it. She just didn't make it. Unfortunately, she didn't make the boat. She's back there at Dunkirk. And Vince Staples, the thing was, just like, I like this album a lot. I didn't feel the need to return to it ever.
Yeah.
I just felt the need to listen to Bag Back a lot.
Yeah.
But Control.
Which is the best song of the year, as we know.
Semper Femina and Control, those are a whole, that's a landscape of things to think about and explore. I had to make a choice. Yeah. Someone had to be cut.
It's a tough choice.
Someone had to cut their fingers off so we can get through the saw door. And unfortunately, Vince Staples.
So, but I think the fact that so many people have diverse lists is a sign of a great year in music.
Yes, I completely agree.
Everyone's found something to really enjoy this year.
Everyone agrees, Damn needs to be on that top five somewhere.
Exactly.
But as it should be.
But probably not number one. Not necessarily number one.
Maybe not number one.
It could
one,
be.
But
you could make it number one if you wanted to, but if it wasn't, that's okay.
No one's shaking their head at no damn number one.
No one's, yeah. No, that's, there's a totally clear argument for that.
Yeah.
But if you have it at like number four, hey, sure.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah,
it's not his best work. He could do better.
Yeah. I mean, we all better. Bodak Yellow, number one.
Shall we Spotify the liar, Mark?
All right.
Now's the time.
No, I don't know how to find it again.
Okay.
You're going to have to find it. I'm giving you my phone.
Okay.
Because you can do it on the app, right?
I think you can. Is it in your like your playlists or something? You can.
Yeah, playlists.
Yeah, playlists? Is it in your playlists?
It prompted me at some point.
Yeah.
I think it might be on the home screen. Oh, your top songs 2017.
Okay.
Here it is.
I think you should.
I'm not going to look at it.
Okay.
I'm just gonna. Should I scroll down like to the bottom first?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. And run it up.
All right. Do you want to read it or should I read it?
I'll read it.
Okay. How many songs are there?
A lot.
Like 100?
I'm going to count it down. Let's do top 30. Okay. Second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26,
27. This is good podcast content. Someone counting up.
Okay. 30, DVP by Pup. 29, nice. Signs of Life by Arcade Fire.
I thought it was so far it was going to be higher.
28 is Slap Drones by Clark.
You know what? I put that on 3 playlists.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I removed them from all playlists. Why do we so have good. This everywhere? I'm like, listen to this all the time. It's not that good.
27, Chateau Lobby number 4 by Father John Misty. Just couldn't give that up from a couple years ago.
Just couldn't.
Oh Baby by LCD Sound System. 25, Take a Chance on Me by ABBA. I don't know where that one came from.
What, 25?
No, 25. 24 is Hellhole by Jeffrey.
I told you I still listen to that a lot. It's just a little bit more than I listen to ABBA, but still.
24K by Cigarettes After Sex. 23, wow. Afterlife by Arcade Fire. 22, Hot Thoughts by Spoon.
That's those one of those early years. Yep. That's going to be on yours too, I you bet. Promise.
21, JJ by Priests.
Yeah.
20, DNA by Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
19, Nausea by Jeff Rosenstock.
That was from, no, that wasn't.
No. 18 is Young by Frankie Kosmos. 17, Strawberry Letter 23 by the Brothers Johnson.
It's because I would watch Jackie Brown.
16, Every Single Thing by Homeshake.
Yeah, chill song of the year.
15, J Boy by Phoenix. You liar. 14, Street Live by Randy Crawford. 13, The Hard Part 4 by Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
12, Gosh by Jamie XX. Oh my gosh. 11, Talk to Me by Run the Jewels. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. I think I numbered these wrong.
I ran 10 then. 1, 2, 3,
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, we're at 10. We're at 10. Top 10. Here we go.
All right.
Number 10, Talk to Me by Run the Jewels.
Great.
Number makes 9, sense. Call the Police by LCD Sound
System.
That also
System. Makes sense.
Number 8, I Did Something Weird Last Night by Jeff Rosenstock.
Even my argument is wrong.
Out of that album. That's your number 1 album from last year. There's not a single Black Star song on this thing, and you're still over here cranking Jeff Rosenstock. You liar. Number 7, Computer Love by Kraftwerk. Number 6, Across 110th Street by Bobby Womack.
I really like Jackie Brown. I think it's a great movie.
Yeah, apparently. Number 5, A Cat Called Dionysus.
I told you. Magnetic it had to be up there.
Number 5.
It's what, was it number 5 originally before I booted it, or was it number 6?
It was number 5.
It was literally accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the 5th best.
It's good. Number 4, Touchtone Telephone by Lemon Demon.
That's a good song.
Number 3, American Dream by LCD Sound System. Number 2, Laid by James.
Makes sense.
And number 1, do you have a guess?
Is it Tonight?
It's Tonight by LCD Sound System.
Oh, I wish they told you how many times you listened to it.
Yeah, so your best song of the year is actually Tonight. Which makes so much, because you love that song. We talked about it. You went on and on and on about how so smart and intelligent and amazing it is. And you're here telling me about how Call of Police is the best LCD songs of the year. It's
right.
Tonight, Mark. You love Tonight.
Right. I know.
And we're frankly thankful. That's the things you're hipping us to.
The market psychology. You
know every lyric. You crazy person. You love it.
I could recite that thing from memory easily.
Oh, my
easily.
God. Wow. What a year in music.
What a year. It is no surprise to me to see American Dream, all those songs that high.
All of those singles are in your top 10.
Yeah.
I just played the crap out of those songs this year.
I really did. A lot. And that's
my argument for coming in and saying, why isn't LCD your number one? Because
notice
like that.
It's just those 3.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Oh Baby's in your top 30, though.
Okay.
Oh Baby's really good. Oh Baby.
But even still, like, I feel like if Sound of Silver came out this year,
yeah.
Or This Is Happening, like, they would all, like, it would just be, like, in order, the track list for the top 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, well, there's no other voice. Emotional Haircut.
Right.
Other voices. How Do You Sleep? Like, none of those made it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll do it for Mark's 15 best albums of 2017. Thanks for listening. Hope you got some... hope you checked your own list and realized just how right Mark is on this thing. Because, wow, I don't know how I'm going to compete, but I've got my list of 15 stacked up over here.
Oh.
We'll take a quick break here, but, I mean, we'll come back to a new episode. So you'll see on a later one, Charlie's top 15 albums of 2017. We'll do the exact same thing with my list and see how it holds up to old Mark's over there.
All hits are saying the same stuff. It's all tonight, tonight, tonight.
Play that outro music.
As the world.